لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين والصفوة الخيرة من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال ربنا العزيز في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولولا أن يكون الناس أمة واحدة لجعلنا لمن يكفر بالرحمن لبيوتهم سقفا من فضة ومعارج عليها يظهرون ولبيوتهم أبوابا وسررا عليها يتكئون وزخرفا وإن كل ذلك لما متاع الحياة الدنيا والآخرة عند ربك للمتقين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Throughout the history of mankind, the rate and the rank and the gauge and the standard of success was wealth, property and wealth and ornaments. This is how they rate people, this is how they rank them, this is how they judge them and measure them. And therefore, when the prophets came to their communities, the communities were shocked, many of them, in fact all of them, they were shocked that those prophets and messengers, they are poor. They come from a poor background. They are not rich. فَلَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ أَسْوِرَةٌ مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ أَوْ جَاءَ مَعَهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مُقْتَرِنِينَ. Pharaoh, when he looked at Moses coming from a poor background, he's not wealthy, he's not millionaire, he's not rich, he said then, where is his wealth? If he's truly the messenger of God, why we don't see him wearing bracelets of gold? Where's his wealth? The same argument was presented by the people during the time of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he came, they were shocked. They said, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. Qaryatayn, two villages, Taif and Mecca. There were two millionaires living in these two cities. Why this book, why these revelations did not come on those two millionaires, those two rich people? Why it came upon Muhammad, who is orphan, who is poor, who cannot even afford having dinner for his nights? Where is his wealth? They were shocked. Why? Because people always, always measure the humans with one standard. The standard of material achievements. Of how much money you have. If you have more money, you are a great person. If you have less money, then you are not important. All religions, including Islam, and all scriptures, including the Holy Quran, they came to change this perception. To say that when it comes to God, God does not judge and evaluate people according to their income, according to their wealth, neither their family or their influence. It's according to their personality. A person is important in Islam, in the eyes of God, if he carries a great personality, great character, according to his or her service, her commitment to their cause, to the cause of the humanity. That person is going to be considered great in the eyes of God. God does not look at your financial statement, nor your bank record. He doesn't care about that. He looks at your heart, your commitment, your service, your dedication to the humanity. That's what is matter. And God says, if it wasn't for the fear, walawla, if it wasn't that we fear that the entire population of earth are going to sway towards materialism and wealth, and they run after only money, we would have given the wealth of this earth, the entire wealth of this earth, only to the non-believers. Only to the non-believers. To prove that the wealth of the earth has no value in the eyes of God. But God says, I fear that all people are going to be non-believers. None is going to survive because they think that this is the sign of success. If you become wealthy, only wealthy, that is the great sign of success. They're going to leave faith. وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. This is one of the most staggering verses in the Quran. This verse in Surah Al-Zukhruf, chapter 43. وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا لَجَعَلْنَا. If it wasn't for the fear that we fear that the Nas, the population of earth, they're going to gather around disbelief and rejection of faith, we would have given and bestowed upon every non-believer huge wealth, huge properties. لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِنْ فِضَّةٍ. The roofs of their properties and homes, it's going to be decorated and ornamented with gold. سُقُفًا مِنْ فِضَّةٍ, gold and silver. وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ ومعارج عليها يظهرون ولبيوتهم. معارج are stairs. Stairs, one of the properties, a huge, it's a tower. When they have a tower, a huge skyscrapers and tower, it has stairs. So this is signifies the greatness of the building. The building is so magnificent and huge, it has stairs. ومعارج عليها يظهرون ولبيوتهم أبوابا. The palace has not only one entrance, but many entrances. A palace, a mansion. وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا. This is why it is plural, not baab, but abwab. This is signifies that we would give them the entire wealth to prove that wealth has no value. The wealth of this earth, material wealth, has no value in the eyes of God. Yes, wealth is going to have value when you serve the nation, when you save lives with it. When it becomes a source of construction, a source of reformation, you reform your society, you save the hungry, the poor, the needy, you advance the cause of the humanity, then it has worth. The wealth is going to have worth in the eyes of God. But merely seeking wealth for the sake of being wealthy only has no value in the eyes of God. And it has no advantage, and it carries no merits. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to say that use the wealth to build yourself, but do not make it the center point of your life. Yes, utilize what God has given you. وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَ. God addresses the wealthiest person on earth at that time, Harun, during the time of Musa. وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ. If you have wealth, property, seek to build your hereafter. وابتغي فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة. At the same time, you have to enjoy a relaxed life. It's okay. It's okay to have good life, good house, good living. No problem about that. But the vast majority of your wealth and your focus has to be to build the hereafter, to prepare yourself for the hereafter. Many people ask, why God does not make all the believers wealthy? No, He doesn't. He says, I would not make them wealthy. Because if believers are supposed to be all of them wealthy, then people are going to be driven towards faith out of greed, not out of conviction. Not because they think faith is something good. Because they look at faith as a means of material success. So let's become faithful. Let's become religious. Let me go to the mosque, because everybody who went to the mosque became wealthy, millionaire. So I will join them. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, yeah, لَسَقَطَ الْبَلَىٰ. Then God, why is testing us? There is no reason to test. God wants to test us in this life, to see whether we stay with Him at the time of poverty, at the time of fear, at the time of hunger, at the time of deprivation. Do we stay with Him or not? At the time of affluence, all people can worship, no problem. But at the time of poverty and severe test, would they still worship God and stay with Him? God wants us to reach faith through difficulties, not ease. Not ease. This is why He does not make believers, all of them, wealthy. He doesn't. He says the path to faith is not through comfort and ease and wealth and relaxation. It is through struggle. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا. You have to struggle, labor. كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. We can't reach Him through ease. And therefore, my friends, the more we get attached to materialism, the more we develop depression. This is a proven. America today, we've been told, it's the strongest nation on earth. Which I doubt that. Yes, we are strong in military, but in morality, I don't think we are the strongest. Neither in economy, nor in education, nor in healthcare. Yes, in the Pentagon, we have the biggest military expenditure, almost $2 billion a day. We have money for that, but for healthcare, we have deficit, alhamdulillah. For education, we have deficit. However, the more we get attached to materialism, to this lower life, to this cheap life, the more we develop anxiety, an attachment to this life. And this attachment does not produce other than unhappiness, more depression, more worries, more greed, more thinking about what should I eat today, what should I wear, where should I live, what model of car should I drive, what... You would never be able to think about your spiritual advancement, your spiritual nourishment. And the more you detach yourself from materialism, use materialism, but don't get attached to it. Be ready to separate yourself any minute from materialism. Be ready. This is the point why we fast, because we are attached to food and a drink. Some people cannot survive without coffee in the morning, or without food, without breakfast, without this type of food, that type of food. Islam came to teach us that you have to grow. You have to detach yourself for a few hours a day. A few hours, maybe 16, maybe 17, maybe 18 hours a day, maximum. Detach yourself from this. If you are completely dependent on materialism, you cannot grow. You cannot grow. You fail. You cannot free yourself from these chains of materialism. Once you free yourself, you'll be able to fly. You'll be able to become lighter, and you can reach. وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The kingdom of this heaven that around us, a friend was giving an example the other day. He said, I live in a very polluted city, very polluted. There is a smog, there is, you know, dirt in the air, and we don't see the stars. So one day I went to the desert, you know, 2 hours a drive outside that city, and I looked up in the evening and I said, wow, look at this. Where is this? This is always there. These stars and galaxies, they are always there. But in the city, you cannot see them. Why? Because there is a layer of smog and pollution. The same thing in the spiritual realm. We cannot see God because there is pollution. Pollution of materialism, pollution of attachment to this life, to our wealth, to what we eat, what we enjoy, what we wear. We are obsessed with that. So we can't see. We can't see the malakut unless we have self-control. This is why we fast. Why do we fast? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. So you develop self-control over your desires. You curb the desire. Once you curb your desires, you can see the stars. You can see the galaxies. You can see what is around you. You can see the beauty. This is one of the reasons of working on ourselves, polishing ourselves, inner selves, during the month of Ramadan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr inna al-insan lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat wa tawasaw bil-haqqi wa tawasaw bil-sabr wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ahli baytih al-tayyibin al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي المقصرة المذنبة بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. روي عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنه قال: أيها الناس، من حسن منكم في هذا الشهر خلقه كان له جواز على الصراط يوم تزل فيه الأقدام. Our great prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم states, it has been narrated that he stated that whoever is able to align his temper, his temperament during this month, حسن, to improve, then he's going to get the visa, the passport, multiple. I don't know whether they give multiple or one visa. To paradise, on a day where many feet are going to slip from the Sirat, from that bridge. Many of them are going to slip, but you are not going to slip. If you improve your manners, your akhlaq during these 30 days and nights, during this intense season of devotion and dedication and piety. When we asked, the American people ask us about Ramadan, what do you do in Ramadan? We say we don't eat. Wow, great, we don't eat. Even no water? We tell them, no, no water. They get really shocked. You don't drink anything and you can survive? Yeah. Try it and you can see. If you have resolve, if you have resolve, you can do anything. But this is not the essence of fasting. Abstaining from eating and drinking is not the entire story about fasting. What is the entire story? There is something hidden beneath that. This is the surface. What is hidden is مَنْ حَسَّنَ مِنْكُمْ خُلُقَهُ. If we can improve our relations. Akhlaq, what is akhlaq, my friends? Akhlaq is the way you deal with people around you. Be it family members, be it friends, be it strangers, people that you know, people that you don't know, Muslims, non-Muslims. The way you deal with them, how do you deal? This is very important. How do you respond? How do you reach out to others? How do you answer your father and your mother if they call you? How do you deal with your children, with your wife, with your husband, with your neighbor, with your co-worker? How do you deal with them? This is akhlaq. If you deal with them with humility, tolerance, forbearance, smile, kindness, then that's it. This is the essence of Ramadan. It is a season of a training. Training to our inner self, to our attitude. The way you speak to people, how do you speak, how do you address, how do you talk about them while you are not, while they are not there? Do you backbite? Do you demolish them when they are not present? When you see them, you smile on their face, you welcome them, but when they are not there, you try to demolish them. This is not Islamic attitude. This is not the spirit of Ramadan. We have to learn, number one, not to judge people. Not to judge people. No one is perfect on earth except the Anbiya and the Imams. And those were made perfect by God for a specific reason that you all know. Other than that, we are human. What does it mean to be human? It means that I am susceptible to mistakes, to faults, to wrongs. So we should not judge people. We should give them the benefit of the doubt. Even if they do something wrong, we have to encourage them. Because if you keep rebuking people, they are not going to come to you. And they are not going to go to God. If God only speaks in His book about hellfire, no one is going to believe in Him. No one is going to worship Him. They tell Him, okay, anyway, you are going to put me in the hellfire, so why should I pray? Why should I come to you? That he speaks about paradise. And the verses that speaks about reward and paradise, much more than those that speak about punishment. This is how we have, this is how we should speak about people. In their presence as well as their absence. It's a month of togetherness. We should pull the community together, the family together. If a family does not speak to each other, they are scattered. Then in this month, the father of the family, the mother of the family, which is the center of compassion and love, they should bring the family together, the cousins together, the extended family together, the community. In the community, there are some people who are unhappy about others. I've seen in this community, in this masjid, in our community. But in the month of Ramadan should bring us together. Why? Because it's a reminder that we are not going to stay in this life forever. One day we have to leave. How many people were with us last Ramadan and now no longer with us? How many people? Only in this area, in this masjid. How many? Many of them. Many of them are with God now, in the hands of God. We have to remember that we are not staying here, my friends. So let's leave a good legacy. A good legacy. A legacy of good relationship. Building relationship. This life, it's not worth it to fight over anything, believe me, over anything. Let alone something trivial, something small. مَنْ حَسَّنَ مِنْكُمْ خُلُقَهُ. Let me conclude with a hadith narrated by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الله
روي عنه أنه قال عليكم بحسن الخلق. You have to hold on to good temperament. Good temperament, حسن الخلق. فإن حسن الخلق في الجنة لا محالة. Definitely, no doubt about it, لا محالة. حسن الخلق, good temperament, is going to take you straight to paradise. وإياكم, stay away, وسوء الخلق. Avoid it. Avoid bad temperament. Avoid suspicion. Avoid being angry at people. Being jealous of people. Avoid these things. Avoid the greed. Avoid backbiting, slandering. Negatively judging people, avoid these things. These are سُوء الخلق. Why? فَإِنَّ سُوءَ الْخُلُقِ فِي النَّارِ لَا مَحَالَ. It's going to take you straight with carpool, without the traffic, to Jahannam. That's the result. Even if you pray, even if you fast, even if you stand Qiyam al-Layl, even if you read the Quran many times during Ramadan, if you have bad temperament, suspicion about people, you dislike people, you are jealous, you hate this, you cannot tolerate this, you cannot accept this, these things are not going to help you. Fasting is not going to help you. You are missing the point of fasting. Because the Prophet himself says, رُوِيَ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ أَوْ عَنْ أَحَدِ الْأَئِمَّةِ عَلَيْهِمْ أَفْضَلُ كَمْ مِنْ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرُ وَالتَّعَبُ وَكَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشُ. How many people, they perform prayers, they stand, they get nothing but exhaustion, no spiritual reward out of their prayers. And how many people, they fast the whole month, but they get nothing other than starvation and thirst. They get no reward because they don't change. Their fasting and their prayers are only mechanical, not spiritual, mechanical. This is the problem. When we don't understand the philosophy of fasting, the reason why we fast, the wisdom of fasting, we miss it up. We don't get anything. So this is the month, this is the season. I advise myself first, and my loved ones, and you are my family. I've been with you for 21 years now. And I love you. And I always, as I said last night here on the podium, the ideal Shia community is not the one that only fasts or prays. The ideal Shia community that makes God happy and the Prophet happy and our Imams happy and our 12 Imam happy is the one that stays together and helps each other. That is the ideal community. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات إنك على كل شيء قدير. My friends, there is a fundraising for Imam Hujja Hospital that took 10 years to build in the city of Karbala, one of the biggest hospitals in Iraq. They have a fundraising. The hospital opened exactly 10 days ago. And they are receiving the poor people, the orphans, the needy in the city. They have a fundraising Sunday, June 11th at this address here in Irvine. So if you'd like to contribute, go and attend, inshallah. Allahumma taqabbal minna salatana wa siyamana wa du'aana fi hada shahr al-azim. Allahumma shafi marzana. المريضة المنظورة اللهم من عليها بالشفاء والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.